So today's a case study call. Welcome to our July case study call. And Claudia put in a case, and the case happens to be her daughter. So she'll know a lot of the answers to questions that I'll ask. Like sometimes when we have cases and it's a new client that somebody has, they'll go, I don't know, write it down. Oh, I don't know. This is her daughter, so she probably knows most of the answers. So this is going to be really helpful. And it is quite an interesting case. And my goal with this case is to help Claudia to know what her next steps would be, like what testing they should be requesting and what kind of next steps she should be doing. So what I'm going to do is share my screen. Let's see. Get rid of that. And I have it open right here. Yes. Okay. So I'll share my screen. Okay. So she went through the case study, and this is the first time Claudia submitted a case study, isn't it? Is it?
Or no, I've done my sister before and then one of my clients earlier, but that was in the very beginning of when I joined NAPT.
Great. All right. So she just put it in here. Let's see. We always, for those of you who haven't done cases yet, we always have you check these boxes, because if you're sharing, you know, if you're sharing your own and you leave your name on it, you're agreeing that your name is going to be seen by everybody. And it's the same thing. I confirm that if I'm submitting a client information, I've taken steps to protect the personal identity of the client. So that's important, because we don't want people, you know, finding out through the grapevine somehow that somebody shared their information and somebody else talked about it, and that's a HIPAA compliance. So we have to have you say that. So she's a 25-year-old female, 5'8" and 198. So we know that she's got a little extra weight on her. She's a student. She's in a committed relationship, no children. So her these are some interesting things, right? Constant fatigue and sweating, weight gain, right? It was a sudden weight gain, you would say?
Yeah.
Okay, so sudden weight gain over like a couple of months, she gained like 40 pounds or something?
Yeah, 40, 50 pounds. Like, they went to Europe, and then she came back with a few extra pounds, you know, pasta, pizza in Italy, and then it just kept going really fast within months.
Yeah, okay. Headaches, stomach aches, horrible periods, and she's had horrible periods her whole time through? Or is it like
I don't know. I don't remember that, but I know that she doesn't even have a period if she's not in the pill. Like she doesn't get a period. And now she said she's been getting them every few weeks. Like it's just all over the place.
Okay. So she's on the pill now?
Yeah.
So she's without the pill, she wasn't getting any periods. And now she's getting them every few weeks.
Yeah.
And when did she start the pill?
Oh, see, this is the stuff I don't know. She was on and off it. I mean, I would say for a few years she's been taking it, and maybe she's like kind of the person who forgets to take it. And
oh, Lord. You're taking so it for pregnancy protection. That's pretty bad.
Right. I know. Well, thank God she hasn't been pregnant yet. But she's also, I remember when she was a teenager, she's like, she took pregnancy tests all the time. I'm like, what are you doing? And because her period was so irregular that she never knew, like, Right.
So this has been a while. The weight gain, the sudden weight gain started when?
That was like 2016 or 2017, like maybe 3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So was she already on the pill at that point off and on?
Yeah.
Okay. So just to say, when I ask certain questions, I like to clarify why I'm asking certain questions. And the reason is I want to see if there's a connection between the pill and the sudden weight gain. Right, and the sudden onset of symptoms. The fatigue, the sweating, how long has all that been going on?
God, see, I wish I don't know all this exactly, but I know the fatigue has been going on for a while, the sweating. I don't know, we went to IKEA on the weekend, and she's like, touch my back, and I'm like, she was drenched, and it was air conditioned, so I'm like, oh, you know, wow. I don't know.
Right, if she was 58 or 49 or 39 even, what would we be expecting? Like, so there could be some hormonal craziness going on, being she's had this stuff that it's stimulating, that's almost like menopausal type symptoms.
That's what I said to her. I think that this feels, this sounds like what you're experiencing is almost like, you know, early menopause, exactly.
Right, but it's not unlikely early menopause, it's just hormone fluctuations that aren't right. So here's what I love to get people do. And we have in our master tracker, we have a timeline, and I gave that out as in a PDF form for those who came to the genetics workshop. And I really think it's so helpful to work with people to map out a timeline of their symptoms, because it starts to look at, like, when did this start? When did this start? When did this start? Okay, what was going on in your life at this point? What shifted? What kind of medications? What kind of supplementations? Were there foods? Was there travel? You know, did you get new carpeting in the house? So we try to map out a timeline of their symptoms, and then we map out what's related to it. You do the same thing with the vision, right? I remember you asking me about when I was 8 years old, right?
I don't really do a timeline, but this makes sense. I did the health tracker with our lab, so I filled that out.
Yeah, well, in the health tracker is a timeline. So you may want to just sit with her and try to map it out over time. Because it's really helpful to have some sort of map, whether you use my thing or you just take a big piece of paper and you map it out. I think it's super helpful for everybody because there's so many little things, these exposures. Oh, you find out that they just got Wi-Fi installed in their house and their symptoms started 6 months after that, or they just had their carpets cleaned and it turns out that there's mold in the carpets because they didn't dry them after they cleaned them, or little subtle things like that, right? Deaths in the family, you know, the mother died and they went to live with an aunt for a while. There's emotional trauma there, but sometimes it's an environmental stressor. So it's really a great thing to do in general is to map out a timeline of symptoms, especially.
The one thing I do know is, like, she met her current boyfriend and they're really great together. And 6 months after they met, they traveled to Europe for 5 weeks. And that's when that whole weight gain started. So it was kind of a new relationship. And she also moved into a little studio apartment that fall. So that was like a really old building. I think I wrote that somewhere. It was a really old building. So I, you know, who knows if there was like lead or any kind of other.
Right. Anything. You know.
Yeah. So she lived there for a year and her cat gained a lot of weight too. But I think that's more because she was in a small space and fed her too much. But they both gained weight. So.
The cat too. Okay, with the fatigue and the sweating, what was the onset of that with relationship to the weight gain?
I think that happened with the weight gain. The fatigue was there before. Like she's been on this rollercoaster. I mean, I wrote down below, like even as a baby, she had colics and stomach aches and, you know, like brain fog. Like she always had trouble concentrating in school. That's been going on for a long time. The sweating is definitely newer.
Okay. All right. And the periods you said, and the stomach aches, she said, so you said that's been a long time. What about the headaches?
She even took her to the hospital when she was 14 because she had she was screaming in pain and they couldn't find anything. She was like in 2009, they couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. She was there for like 2 days and they couldn't figure out anything.
When did her periods start?
13, 12 or 13. Oh my God, I should know all these things.
But this is, I'm giving you the information to write down to keep track of.
Right, right.
Somebody's echoing. Let me see if it's open.
I can put headphones in if my sound is bad. I have them somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because you're the only line open.
Okay, let me get my headphones real quick.
Okay. I'm just going to mute it. And then I'm going to speak. Yeah, and then I'll speak about some of the things, the reasoning behind this. Whenever we're trying to figure something out, especially someone who's been to lots of doctors, lots of, you know, interventions, the kind of thing that usually is missed is like really mapping out this timeline and looking. Okay, so I can unmute you now. How's that? Oh, that's better. Well, it's not letting me unmute you. Try unmuting yourself. There you go. Oops. No, one more time. Try again. Okay, there we go. No, you keep going up. Okay.
Okay, no, sorry. It's like it didn't react, you know, didn't react to my clicking on it.
And then you did it again. Yeah. Okay, good. Sorry. Now that's better. That's better. All right. So she's had issues since she was a baby, colicky baby. Bipolar. So there's a lot of imbalances going on here, right? And it's a matter of any of this, like, could have caused anything. I know you said to me when you texted me on this was that, well, I don't think it was the diet or the gluten or the whatever, because she'd been doing that all along and this came on suddenly. But the body, I always describe it to people as this bucket. And we have this bucket and we can tolerate just so much in just assaults, right? And it fills up and it fills up and it fills up. And at one point, that one little thing is that straw that broke the camel's back, you know, the proverb, and everything goes out. So it's really a matter of mapping it out to see what kind of imbalances. So she's had imbalances in her hormones for a long, long time. She's on the birth control pill and she's been on that for a long time, but irregularly. And this is the latest information, which you just told me about today earlier, was the pelvis is on the liver. So they believe her cyst and a slightly enlarged spleen. So those need to be further investigated to find out what they are.
They just said in the report, oh, the cysts in the liver are probably related to the polycystic kidney syndrome. And they didn't do the ovaries or the uterus, which is, it wasn't on the report. I added the report.
So they didn't do the ovaries?
Well, it didn't, on the report, it doesn't list it as a, yeah. So I don't know.
See with polycystic kidney and with these issues, I would think that we'd want to at least rule out polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Right. And I think a doctor wanted that, but maybe they just didn't do it. Like her OB-GYN, because it was her OB-GYN who wanted to get those scans done. So I'm confused why they didn't do it.
Yeah. All right. So she's got a psychiatrist, and that's the one that's prescribed the, she's on medication.
Lamotrigine and Prozac.
When did she, did her dose change of that medication at any time around?
Not in a long time.
Okay, not around the time.
Oh, you mean in the time when she gained weight?
Yeah, because those
she
are.
She wasn't on Prozac originally. I know that. That was like short later. No, the dose hasn't changed as far as I know.
Because the bipolar drugs are known to put on weight, to really like big weight gains. That's one of the side effects.
She got the Prozac for the bipolar and then the Lamotrigine for the borderline.
Okay. Usually Prozac is not done for bipolar, but those are worth looking at. Like I would always look up the particular drugs, especially you know, these things like that, to see what kind of side effects they have. And really, again, on the timeline is knowing when she started.
Yeah.
When you look in the master tracker, there's a sheet that says medication, dose, why, and then when did you start it? And if you stopped it, when they stopped it. Because those things are real important as we put this together.
I would definitely do that. I just didn't know, honestly. I just filled this out, this form, and did the labs and the health.
That's what these calls are. Well, to teach.
Yeah.
Current types of practitioners. Okay, so habits that she has that are positive. Not much. Okay. She started to gym 3 times a week in 2019 and stopped since COVID. Okay. No exercise, poor vegetarian diet, sugar, gluten, mostly carbs, not a fan of veggies, very picky. Coffee, alcohol, less than once a week, intermittent fasting because of nausea, then when hungry, binges. So, diet is a huge contributing factor. Huge. Whoops, did she disappear? Claudia's still there? Huh. It looks like Claudia fell off. You guys can still hear me, right? So I'll just take, while she's coming back on, I'll just take a moment to just kind of, this is all in the module on history taking, is like the real importance of thorough history and getting timelines in place. And if they're on medications, when did they start the medications? I always look up the medications to see what the side effects are. Very easy to do, drugs.com, things like that. And also the drug nutrient interactions. And if you're ever concerned or confused about a drug nutrient interaction, Mihaela, she's in NEPT, she's a pharmacist as well as a nutritionist. So she is a really good resource for that. And she can help with that. But it's really important to know when everything's happening in relationship to each other, because suddenly when you map that out, it's kind of like when you map out their food, and you start to see it start to go, oh, no wonder every time you eat this or that, you get these symptoms. It's super helpful. And this is the thing that's going to set you guys apart, because most practitioners don't do this. They just don't, because it is time consuming. It takes time, but they don't do it. Homeopaths do, right? Lynn Rose is a homeopath. That's the big part of what they do, is mapping out a timeline. And if you've ever been to a homeopath for a visit, you're there for 2 hours at least the first time, mapping it all out to get a good sense of it. I remember seeing a homeopath for my son who was 5 and was still wetting the bed. And we went through this 2 hour, and he's asking me most of the questions and keeping my son working. And it was like, does he like eggplant? And I'm like, why would he ask me if he likes eggplant? And I said, no, he hates eggplant. And, you know, he asked me a couple of other weird questions, and it was really mapping this out. And he went, okay, I think we got it. And he gave me a remedy for Eric to take. And within a couple of weeks, the bedwetting stopped. So it's an important piece. And I'm not saying, you know, homeopathy is one piece. You don't have to know homeopathy to be successful at this. But the point is that it's really, really seeing it and pulling it apart to see where the imbalances lie. Are you back, Claudia? There she is.
Yes, I'm back. I don't know. This happened at my summit. My computer is charging, but it's like the power goes down and then it just freezes. And that's why my sound was weird, I think.
Oh, wow.
So it's like 2% charge, even though it's been attached to the cord the whole time. There's something wrong with
that. That's what happened on that thing, because I was there. And
I know.
And you were echoing, and then boom.
I know. So I'm on my phone now, but it's okay.
Okay. So stress level, major stressors, money, career, school. So she's a student, full-time student at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
So and her gig was bartending, right? Like for catering company. And obviously that has been, COVID has been kind of shutting that down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you bought her by, so she wasn't on any nutrients, but
no,
you just bought her vitamin C, zinc, DA, K2. Okay. So those are good, great, you know, those are basic, great stuff to get her started with. The issue with this and working with family is, how willing are they to
well,
buy
I told her,
her
she. Yeah, I told her, like, I'm not doing this if you're not willing. And I think she's now, like, shocked enough to kind of do changes. So, because I told her, I'm not going to spend my energy if you're not changing anything. So,
yeah. Okay. So, heavy duty carb, vegetarian, lots of gluten and dairy and sugar. Well, maybe not dairy. Does she do dairy?
Yeah, she was vegan when she, now she's back vegetarian. So, she, yes, she eats dairy.
Very picky, doesn't like a lot of veggies, but you know, so you find what she does like, but you also find, this is where all the food stuff in the body freedom section comes in, is where you go in there and you look and see how can you sneak, it's like you're working with a five-year-old, right? How do you sneak the broccoli or the green leafy vegetables into things, right? I make a pizza crust, and while I'm making the crust itself, I've got kale in there. If I'm making the pizza, I'm chopping up green leafy vegetables and putting it under the cheese and hiding it there and then putting the sauce over it and then the pesto and the veggies on top, and they don't even know that they're eating it. Even in my pesto, I put all that stuff.
She doesn't live with me, but her boyfriend, thank God, he is very healthy and he is my biggest ally. So I'm like texting with him and I'm like, here's an idea what you can do. And it's like,
good.
Well,
so
yeah.
You can give him some recipes, find out what his favorite foods are and how do you alter those favorite foods to make something that has all the nutrients in the food she needs without the gluten. Because if she's a bread eater, there's lots, you know that, there's lots of alternatives to that. There's lots of the raw breads with the nuts and seeds and veggies in them. There's the gluten-free breads at least, but those are more starches. And I think she's got a carb problem, you know, based on your issue with carbs and based on the fact that a lot of this, you know, that sudden weight gain. So the labs you got her were very incomplete. So
I know.
Look at them, but we can give you some ideas of what you ask for, or just get her, go through your lab work and get it through Allen Hopkins stuff and order it for her. It's hard when they're on fixed, you know, the Medi-Cal or whatever else it is.
Yeah, it's the free insurance. It's Medi-Cal because it's California, but yeah.
Yeah. So the lead, you know, exposure, that's a possibility, right? And you can certainly look at that, and a hair analysis is pretty inexpensive, and that'll show if there's some heavy metals.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. I'm going to write that down here. And then this is, because I told her I'm paying for those labs, but I want you to like take this serious, and she's ready.
Okay. Yeah. So I would do a hair mineral analysis. We have it on our site. Doctor's Data has it. Okay, so we'll look at the labs. The glucose numbers were not fasting. Less any pertinent physical. Okay, so what does she do for relaxation?
I don't know, to be honest.
But you wrote 4 times a week.
Well, I asked her to give me, fill this out for me. So
okay, she filled it, yeah.
Yeah, it's been like, because we only did this on Sunday or Monday, like it wasn't that much time to like sit down and discuss everything, but yeah.
So sugars 5 or more times a week, you know, which probably means every day. Soft drinks are 4 times a week, you know, caffeine. So there's a lot of stuff in there that's creating an acidity in her blood, but is also throwing her minerals out of balance and affecting her digestion. Okay, let's look. Okay, bringing purified water most of the time. That's good. And she's sleeping, so she's got some good stuff. So let's look at her labs.
Yeah, and I put that in the health tracker, so it might be easier to see it there.
Oh, okay, that's not the health tracker. Let me look in there.
I think I invited you to
Yeah, you did that. You sent me that by email. Okay, let me go there.
The only thing that's not in there is the CT scan results, like those I just got this morning.
Okay, so I saw it here earlier. Claudia, here we go. Health tracker. Okay, open in Sheets. All right, so this is her health tracker. Let's look at her lab results.
I think it would be really good for us newbies to, like, next time, you like, if you submit a case, you know, add the timeline, add everything.
Yeah.
Because I knew the labs, but I wasn't sure. I didn't know that all the other stuff was important. So next time I do better.
Yeah. That's a good idea. It looks like that thing is not working. So let me do this.
It's on, it should be the lab US.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So from
just FYI, the glucose, she was not fasting for this. So they didn't tell her to be fasting. That's why I'm just saying those numbers are not fasting.
Glucose. So was it after breakfast? Was it?
Yeah, it was in the morning. One is in the morning and one was in the afternoon, I think, the appointments.
Okay. So these aren't great numbers. They're not terrible numbers, but they're not great. But it depends on how far after eating and what she'd eaten before to see if they're.
Yeah. She has a free Libra. I gave her my last sensor from Germany. So she has it in right now. And I looked at it on weekend. I was like a roller coaster. So lots of really low and lots of really high. And I think that's why she craves the carbs and it's just.
Yep. And then they throw her off and then they throw her way down in type. So the blood urea nitrogen, usually it's going to be low if someone is not getting enough protein, meaning they're either not eating enough protein or they're not absorbing their protein very well.
So, well, the doctor told her because she has polycystic kidney disease that she used to eat like lots of tofu, and they told her like you need to go light on the protein. So I think she now started to do too little.
Yeah. So the best way to look at that is to look at it in chronometer.
Okay.
It's because it sounds like if she's just eating a lot of carbs and breads and things like that, she may not be getting enough protein.
Okay.
And given she's got the polycystic kidneys, her kidney function is looking good here. You know, as far as the GFR, glomerular filtration rate. Carbon dioxide's a little on the low side. It's a little bit acidic, but not much. Calcium's a little bit low. That I would be watching for. Know that it's related, but it might be related to the kidney. Protein's low, so it confirms the bun. So I would look at her, have her do a day or two in the chronometer, because it sounds like it's the same every day, so you don't have to do multiple days, and just see how much her protein intake is. Albumin's okay. Alk Phos is low, so you were wise to get her on zinc. Usually when Alk Phos is on the low side, in the yellow range or even the red range, orange range, they're low in alkaline phosphatase, because alkaline phosphatase is cofactor for making, has as a cofactor zinc. So this could be zincs, and zinc will affect the hormones. So that was wise, and the immune system. So that was wise. The liver stuff doesn't look bad. So given that she has the liver stuff, I would have expected some of her liver enzymes to be elevated. Her cholesterol is reasonable. Her triglycerides are high and her HDLs are low. And this is really indicative of insulin resistance or pre-insulin resistance blood sugar imbalance.
So hold on. So HDL was, and what was the other? Triglycerides.
Yeah, so it's triglyceride, okay. HDL. And what we're looking for actually is a 1-to-1 ratio. So ideally triglyceride 75 and HDL cholesterol 75. So her ratio is more like.
Oh yeah. Right. Way off. Yeah.
Way off. Right. So that's suggestive of a problem with insulin resistance.
Okay.
So even though her total cholesterol is okay, it's this part that's thrown off. Okay. So, I wonder why.
Yeah, that one I tried like just putting 3.4 and it doesn't give me a color, but I can see that it's supposed to be under 3 in your optimal range. Yeah, I don't know why it didn't make a color.
Ah.
Yeah, it's like it was really wonky for me too when I did that. Sometimes I didn't.
If maybe when you made a copy of it, something happened. That's kind of weird. All right, it's not changing it anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other fields were fine.
Those just changed.
That is bizarre, huh?
Okay, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go copy. And I go here and say,
okay. Yeah, you know, it's medical, so they only did the TH. They didn't do the whole thyroid panel, but you know, this is something I might be buying for. Like, if you can help me, like, let me know what I should actually.
Yeah, so a full thyroid panel. If you go to runmylabs.com,
mm-hmm.
and you look at thyroid panel complete.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is on the higher side. They wouldn't catch that. Medi-Cal would say that's fine because it's below 5.
Right.
There's something probably going on wonky with her thyroid too. White blood cells she didn't get recently. This is only a month ago. So white blood cells were okay. Red blood cells look a little high. You know, it's not so high that I would be concerned that she has something like hemochromatosis or never remember the name of that one, but... one of those, she most likely it's dehydration sometimes, just not enough water, and it makes the red blood cells look higher. But
you know that on the CT scan, it said that her spleen was slightly enlarged, and I looked up and that there's like everything from cancer to like liver disorders. And yeah. So
looking at bilirubin might be another one for you to, no, bilirubin was fine. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because bilirubin, if there's a spleen imbalance, will oftentimes be off. Her hemoglobin is fine. Her hematocrit is fine. So in light of those, I'm not concerned about the red blood cells being a little bit on the high. You know, it's not high side. It's just slightly out of ideal.
Right, right.
We don't have an iron or a ferret.
No.
Right. And so my issue here, where I'm looking here, which made me think about that is, this is the mean corpuscular volume, the size of the red blood cells. And so if it's a little on the low side, it's more indicative of an iron deficiency anemia. And if it's on the high side, it would be more indicative of a B12 folate deficiency. So she's on the low side. I don't have any other numbers to compare it to see.
So check iron, ferritin. So
I would check iron and ferritin. And those are also going to be indicative of liver inflammation as well. So if there's liver inflammation, those can be off. She had an indication of some kind of bacterial thing, you know, very mild because it's right barely outside of the ideal range, but there's possibility, especially with the monocytes a little bit high, it could either that she was just recovering from something or that she has a chronic low grade something. It could be.
I think she went to the doctor because she had UTI symptoms, right? And so that's why they did those tests. And then they said, no, we can't find anything.
Well, it might have been healing issue, but this is something to just watch for. I would do another CBC.
CBC?
CBC, okay. Yeah. Just to see where it is now versus back in April.
Okay.
CBC with differential. It's on that site. It's like $25. It's really inexpensive.
Okay.
Insulin. This is what I want to see. Hemoglobin A1C is 4.8. So that could be perfect, but it could also be that somebody has these big swings, right? Like you were saying, like really high levels of glucose causes a lot of insulin to be released, brings it down too low, brings it back up again. And so the average comes out to look like it's normal, right? So
yeah, and she has those swings. I mean, she used to get glucose in school as a teenager because she would faint sometimes. But you know, she's also, she's the kind of person who is nauseous all the time. She had a lot of like she called disordered eating, where she can, like, she can't think of food, and then she has this 1 hour where she feels hungry, and then she just, oh, and that's when carbs are the only thing that looks at, right? So she's been having these kind of, you know, disordered eating, as she calls it herself, like issues for a long time. And that's why she's like, Mom, if you tell me not to eat certain foods, then, you know, I feel like I'm going into this disordered eating again. I'm like, wow, that's two different things, right? But it's like,
disordered. Yeah, you have to replace it. You can't just tell her what she can eat. That's what I said before, like find out what her favorite foods are and then give her boyfriend some recipes that he can make that will make things that are similar so she doesn't feel deprived.
Right.
Telling her what she can eat because then that'll drive her crazy.
Well, I said sugar and gluten. I said that. I mean, that's, I didn't say any specifics. Just
right. Like, but you know, what does she eat that's sugar and gluten? Like, is it, you know, bagels? Okay. Teach her how to make those. You have recipes for all of these kind of alternative ways to make things. And so you replace. I mean, it may be initially that you're replacing with, you know, the bread with the millet bread, right? Which is
right
choice. And then you move her into something else besides that. But I would get her insulin tested for sure.
So fasting insulin?
Yep. And make sure it's fasting.
Yeah. Fasting insulin.
Because you know what? If this wasn't fasting, those triglycerides may be not accurate either.
Yeah.
Some things are fine. I don't know why a doctor would run their tests on a person without having them fast.
I know. I think that she had an appointment for the UTI in the afternoon, and they just said, oh, let's run those labs. And then they also ran the other labs. And I don't know, for the second one, it was in the morning. So I don't know why they didn't tell her to be fasting.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
Right. So her FSH is in the normal range. Yeah. Oops. I'm going to go back here and see if you maybe want to also run the lipids again. Because cholesterol usually doesn't get affected by whether you're fasting or not, but triglycerides will.
Okay.
The HDL is low, but this might actually be not really that high. And the same thing with the others. So I would probably have her do the fasting insulin, the fasting glucose, the lipid panel, and a complete thyroid panel, and the ferritin and iron.
Okay, lipid panel. Okay, and then the hair mineral analysis.
And then the hair mineral analysis. If she's had that lead exposure, that could be a problem.
I mean, I don't know if that was lead. It was just a really old building, so I'm just, you know, didn't trust that structure.
Right.
It was. And then what about vitamin D? Is not, you wouldn't.
Oh, vitamin D. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
There's one of the panels on the Run My Labs is vitamin. It's full thyroid plus vitamin D. It's all in one.
Okay. Test. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Phew.
So she said, yeah, I can do gluten or dairy. I cannot stop both at the same time. I'm like,
yeah. So she needs, you know, part of it is, and when we're working with people, is that you work with them to get into a phase of what's most important to you. Right. And yeah, some people have to go slowly and you phase it out. So you pick one and you phase it out. So given she's carb craving and given there's some indication, if that's accurate, that there's some glucose ups and downs with the freestyle, you're seeing that
right.
I would try getting the gluten out.
That's what I said too. I said, I think the gluten would be more important if you don't want to give up dairy for now.
And there's a lot of good alternatives for the dairy. There's not as many good alternatives for the gluten stuff. So that's where you work with her on that. And really, you know, the different kind of breads, the noodles. I don't know what she eats that's gluten. So find out what are all her gluten containing.
Oh, well, pasta, you know, pasta, toast, you know, all that stuff. Pizza, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so initially you can just switch her from those things to the gluten-free grain alternatives.
Right.
And then see what that does on the Libre to see what it does to the thing. And then slowly, like, give her boyfriend recipes if he's willing to help her with that, for some of the breads and the pizzas and the ice cream and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Anybody else have a? Oh yeah, the food swap list. Thank you, Lynn. There's a food swap list, and I actually think I'm going to share my screen.
I think I have that. Yeah, the worst, better, like.
Yeah, good, better, best. And I think
yeah.
Actually on the resource list here. Oops. I have to log in again. Is this by any members? Yeah, the food swap list is amazing. I'll give you guys the...
Yeah, it's just for everybody else. It's definitely interesting because, you know, when you, as a teenager, like my sister was on a constant, my parents put my sister on a constant diet because she was overweight. And she's now doing following Sweet Spot, thanks to me. And she lost all this weight. But it's like, you know, if there's already disturbed, you know, relationship to food from like a young age
it's on. It's tough, you know.
Right?
It's, you
yeah.
have to be careful that you don't throw somebody who's been in a food issue. I thought I saw the food swap list here.
So yeah, and compared and with the mental illness struggles, you know, it's yeah, it's not as easy as me. Like, okay, let's just do it. Let's just.
I know. So well, you know, I love that's why I love working with those people. I don't know where it is, but you know, it's we gave it out at the last event. We gave it out mm-hmm. as a bonus, and it's a great list. It's just so great. Oh, Lynn just put it up there. Thank you, Lynn. Lynn has this amazing ability to find things quickly. Like to just,
right.
like, I don't know how she does it. She's magic. Yeah. Pasta Joy is amazing. A lot of gluten eaters love it. Not that I recommend pasta. We don't eat it personally, but we did the best gluten-free option. Okay, great. We did Tinkiata was the one that we've used here. And then there's also kelp noodles and konjac noodles as well.
Yeah, I suggested konjac noodles.
Like, and hey, zucchini noodles.
And like, want to try those? And she hates zucchini because she threw up once from like eating those. And same with eggplant. But yeah, I think the other thing is too, what we have to consider with like, you know, like my daughter's kind of, you know, they're students. So they don't have the money. Like everything gluten-free costs more money. Everything organic is more money, right? Like konjac noodle, right? Like, you know what I mean? All those things are a lot more expensive.
I hear it, and I have a kid who's a student too.
Right.
And he only buys healthy food. He will not buy junk. So they can do it. They just have to be committed. And he's committed.
Right.
That's why he's willing to do it. Right. So, you know, buying pizza at Papa John's or buying, you know, eating out at restaurants, which is what a lot of teenagers do, costs a lot more than eating good old organic food at home.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that comes a lot as a.
Oh,
like,
it comes up. It comes
until
up.
Until you learn how to figure things out, like in a way that's more efficient,
right.
for sure.
Yeah. But they're very, I mean, beans and rice, it's not as great, but brown rice and beans or lentils, they're all, my son does a lot of lentils.
She loves those.
Yeah, so
that makes my blood sugar like beans and rice and lentil. All of that raises my blood sugar. Every single one. Yeah, I cannot eat any of that.
So that's why it's seeing how it does for her. But I see a lot of folks who are just fine with lentils but can't do rice. So that's what they do. So when you're testing your glucose, you get to know,
right?
Which of it throws it off and which of it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she loves that. She loves that food and Indian food and. Yeah,
there you go. Sure. Lots of Indian food and, you know, broccoli. My son will say I remember him calling me up from college once and goes, I don't have much room in my refrigerator and organic frozen broccoli's on sale at Trader Joe's and I can get like this big a bag compared to a little bit of fresh. Is it okay? Do you think I'll be okay if I eat the frozen organic broccoli? And I'm like, yeah, go for it. Right. And he goes, there's 5-pound bag of frozen kale on sale at Trader Joe's for $3. Can I do that and still be okay? I'm like, yeah, go for it. Right. So, and
she loves broccoli. That's one of the things she loves.
That's good. Then you play on the ones that they do love. Right. They're not going to have as much variety as maybe we would like, but it's just getting them off of these health depleting foods. And the liver, you know, the good thing is the liver functionally looks good. I'd like to see the iron and ferritin to see if that is an indication, but functionally it looks okay. So whether those cysts are just related to, you know, this polycystic thing but I would suspect that maybe it's ovary too, which means that the insulin is such a big deal. So the Dutch test is the other one you and I talked about.
Yeah, Dutch test. I have one right there sitting on my counter, so maybe I give that to her.
Self-sacrifice for baby.
Because it's like, you can't drink coffee, I know I'm bad, and there's no avocados that you can't eat for 48 hours, so I've been pushing it back every day.
Okay, thank you. I have a Dutch test that I paid for 4 years ago. I got it as a special when I first started doing, maybe it was 5 years ago. And they were like, they gave it to me like five kits I could get for half price. They still may have that special if you guys get an account with them, like $125 a kit for, you can get up to five kits. And so I bought five kits and I ended up, you know, using them for patients. And
oh, okay.
I so have you just go. But if you go there and get an account, you just tell
so
them.
Can we do that? Can we do that as not as a doctor? Because I've bought it through you, through your store, I think.
Yeah, you can, because we've made an arrangement so you can.
Okay, and it's just a Dutch website?
They'll contact us and say, is Claudia okay to get this test? And we'll say, yeah, sure, sell it to her. And you're good, right?
Okay, so the website, okay, directly there. I will check that.
Yeah, just go to their website directly. And then, or on that site, on the site here, let me see if I can find it. There's a lab resources. Okay. All right, let me share my screen again. Okay. So if you go to where it says resources, NEPT resources, and you may not see all of this other stuff because I see everything, lab resources. And then it goes, these are the places, where's the one for Lab ordering
for NEPT practitioners.
Okay, lab ordering for NEPT practitioners. And then it gives you a list of all the folks who we have an arrangement with. BioHealth is gone. We have to edit this. Blood chem diagnostics, Great Plains, Meridian, Precision Analytical. So you go here.
Okay.
You become a provider. You fill everything out. You note that, that you're with me, and then they will contact you. They'll first contact us and say, hey, is Claudia valid? We'll say yes, and then you get it.
Cool.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Questions, comments, cases you want to talk
about? I just want to say they're also really nice. They'll contact you, like send you a welcome email, set up a time to go over things with you. Mm-hmm. You can actually have like, I think it's two or three free 30-minute consultations on your first.
Yeah, they'll do your first cases. They help you to kind of learn how to do it. They're really good.
So are they, did you say the Dutch test was $125?
When you first sign up as a practitioner, a provider, you can buy up to five kits in advance for the $125. You can sell them at the full price for them because it's like $300.
I was just saying it was like a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot more. Yeah. So you can get them and you can use them for yourself or your family. I'll let you know if they let you use them 5-6 years later. Cause I have one that I keep putting it off to saying, yeah, I'll do it. I haven't done it. So.
Can I turn the power back on?
Awesome. And I have a question for you too. So I had a client who and I don't have any real history or labs for her other than I know she's recently diabetic. And she's a fairly new client, but she mentioned in her history that when she got pregnant, right after she had her first child, she gained a lot of weight. And before that, she was really thin.
Mm-hmm.
So most people I've observed usually go back to their original weight. So that surprised me. And I was wondering what would cause that.
I don't see that most people go back to their original weight so pregnancy does create a lot of imbalance. And if there is already like an autoimmune disease, it aggravates thyroid conditions. So I would look at her thyroid to see, like somebody who has a latent hypothyroidism or a Hashimoto's, they get pregnant and it aggravates it. So unless she's, sometimes they continue to, it's noisy. Is that your background?
It is. There's a lot going on here, but they cut off the electricity. So I got kicked out of my office room in the kitchen.
Okay. So just checking. So I would say that if she is eating the same as she was before she was pregnant versus, you know, a lot of women, they eat for two, right? And then they continue to eat for two even after they stop being pregnant. And they really, you know, you're nursing, yeah, you need a few extra calories, but not as much as when you're pregnant. And so a lot of times it's the habit, but sometimes it is a hormonal imbalance like that, and it could be thyroid. Okay. Yeah. And Lynn says tongue scraping can help with the cravings. Tell me more about that. That's not something I've experienced, but I'd keep my tongue scraper around a lot if that knew that.
Yeah, because after you eat, if you scrape that off, your mouth is not tasting all the food and everything. So you're not, your brain isn't picking up that taste, and you're wanting to create, you wanting to eat more foods. So it's kind of a brain thing. So it's
worth a try, right? Anybody? It's certainly worth a try. It's one of those things that it can hurt. Might as well try it.
My sister always brushes her teeth in the evening, and then she doesn't eat anything. But I'm like, I brush my teeth, and then I can still eat chocolate. Like, I don't, for me, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that. I find, what's that? Yeah, it might be, it's certainly worth it. Try it yourself, Claudia, and see if it helps yourself. I'm like your sister, if I brush my teeth and then I'm done, I don't want to have to do it again. So brush them and floss them, and then I'm like, I'm not going to eat. No, I'm going to quit. So it is a good habit for some people. The other thing for me that's the most effective is my freestyle, because when I'm not testing my glucose and then I'm up and I'm like, oh, just a little bit of more of this, and my kale brownies or my, you know, whatever, they're good healthy things. And then I find myself eating late at night, and if I'm not checking my glucose, it's like I don't realize. And then when I start checking again, I go, whoa, you know, whenever I do that, I wake up in the morning with my sugar in the 90s. And I've been watching it, and I've been really conscientious with it. And my highs have been in the 70s and 80s. That's my highs, right? And I'm in the 50s and 60s and 70s most of the time. So because I'm watching it and I'm being really conscientious of those meal spacing. Today I didn't, and I'm going to watch that a little bit because I didn't have time to have a really decent lunch when I finally ate at 2:30. I had a call within a half an hour, and I'm like, I didn't really get to fill. And so I stopped, I did my thing, and then I was still hungry, so I had a little more. So it's been a weird day today, and I'm going to be curious to see, in fact, I can tell right now, how high the sugar goes as a result of that, like that continuous eating versus the meal spacing. Let's see. Check glucose. Yeah. 78. That's pretty good. So there's, I don't know if you can see it, but there's my, you see where it's all red? I actually strive to be in the red because the lowest they let you go is 70s, but I like to keep it in the 60s because that's where I feel. So it's 60s, 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 then after eating 70s, and we'll see how high it goes. And then I'll probably be in the 60s when I wake up in the morning. And I feel best at that. That's good for me. That may not be good for you. That may not be good for everybody, but that's the whole thing about sweet spot, is finding your sweet spot. And I remember when I was looking at these various things, and I was saying to a friend, I don't know, but I just find that I feel the best when my blood sugar is in the 60s and 70s. That's my sweet spot. And then he went, oh, sweet spot. Oh my God, that's the name of the program. I was trying to think of a name to rename it to. And that's when I named it to Sweet Spot, because I really, that's what's good for me. And when I'm in the 80s and not, when I'm in the 90s and hundreds after eating, I'm hungry. I just get those cravings. I just want more. I just want more. Whereas if I'm in the 60s, 70s, my tummy feels full. I don't have cravings. So it's all a matter of finding for each of us what that special time is. Yeah. When you feel lightheaded, I've gone occasionally into 70s. You feel lightheaded? I don't feel lightheaded. I feel hungry, but not lightheaded.
When yours is low, you're not lightheaded?
Oh, no.
That's what she was asking, how low is too low? And I said, when you feel lightheaded.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. And so for me, because I keto adapt really quickly. So if I'm in the 60s and 70s, my ketones are in the 1.5 to 2.5. And so my body's not craving fuel because it's burning ketones. But if I was in the 60s or 50s or 70s even, and my ketones didn't go up, I probably feel lightheaded because there's no fuel in there. Right? So it's a matter of what's your body using for fuel. And after a while, it does adapt. My husband, Scott, he would do the same. Like, we do a 5-day fast together. And by the fifth day, I'm in ketones in the fives and sixes. And he's in 0.9. Right? And he's frustrated beyond belief. And he just keeps doing all the stuff. So finally, he's gotten on a really good habit of eating. He's been intermittent fasting. He's been eating low carb. He's been just doing really well. He lost 20 pounds over the last couple of months. And his ketones are maintaining in the 1.3 to 1.5. And his glucose, he hasn't been testing the glucose, but he knows it's low. So it's everybody's a little different, and it's a matter of how long it takes. So many people get frustrated because they don't suddenly do a fast and they're keto adapted and everything's fine. But it doesn't work that way. right? It doesn't work that way. And we just have to teach our people to be patient with themselves and to find that groove. But you have to feel good with what you're eating. You can't be like starving all the time, like you're going to eat the house down. And you have to have the energy and the headedness. Yeah, Lynn.
I think also making friends with hunger is an important piece, because I really don't think most people understand true hunger. So what I teach is to not eat till you're full, but to eat till you're just a little more than satisfied. Because it takes our brain 20 to 30 minutes to even know that we're full.
That's right.
By then it's also...
You're exploding, right, exactly.
But just really, just getting people to slow down a moment and breathe and be, you know, I've been actually telling people, eating is, at least at some point in times in history, it's almost a sacrament, you know? You dress up your table, you lend it the importance it really is.
Yeah, and we don't do that. I mean, I don't ever do that. I eat at my desk, and we eat while we're doing homework with the kids, or we eat while we're, you know, doing whatever, watching TV, and we don't make it that. And so you're distracted, so you don't notice that you're full. It just tastes so good, you keep eating. And I like that phrase.
Notice what the taste is.
Oh,
and we're not even brought up, at least, you know, I mean, we ate at the table as a family, but they were also times that were fraught with emotional conflict. And so there's not always a happy memory of a meal. And so it's retraining again that brain to look at this wonderful thing we're doing for ourselves. Yeah. As we eat. And so that's where just the slowing down and really looking at your food. And if it's even something as nice as getting a cut glass, whatever, for your green smoothie or your juice, or, you know, a nice plate that you use.
Candle on the table, even, like putting a candle on the table.
Put some flowers there.
Or flowers, you know, yeah.
And I've been finding out for myself, in the morning, my blood sugar does really well when I have just like a bowl of berries or, I have an apple tree. So I have an organic apple. It's not a big one. It's a little one. And I sprinkle some cinnamon on it. Mm-hmm. But if I eat fruit and I find it to be cleansing and it's good for my blood sugar. But if I eat fruit at another time of the day, it does not work.
Doesn't work. Yeah.
Right. So, but
that's a good point. I don't want to gloss over that and let you go on. I want you to go on, but I want to really let that sink for people, because the time of the day that people eat, whether it's they eat their protein or their carbs or fat, is going to vary from person to person and when their metabolic fire is proper and what they're needing. And so we really have to pay attention to those things with folks.
Well, and the food combining as well. Fruit digests really quickly.
Fast.
And in Chinese medicine, we're in a cleansing mode first thing in the morning. And, you know, again, this is a general statement, but... And so for me, that is what works, I guess, is what I'm saying. And then I'll have a bigger meal midday or somewhere. And then I hardly eat anything if I eat at all. And now my son has a job at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I go to getting ready to go to bed here because I have to drive him. And I know, so we have to get up at 3 because it's a half hour drive.
Oh, Lord.
And you're dedicated. And so... no, I want him to pay off his fines and get his own license and car, so I don't have to do this.
So you don't have to do it.
I actually don't mind it because I'm a morning person.
You're a morning person, yeah.
I don't mind waking up at 3 in the morning, whereas you may still be up.
I would rather, if I had to drive my kid and get up at 3 to drive him to, I would stay up until then and then adjust. That's just because that's where I function better.
Right. Yeah. And
that's another thing, is figuring out people's cycles and when they need to be eating, when they need to be resting, and when they function at their best, and helping people to see it's not dogma. If you're not wrong, if you're better at night or better in the morning, you're just tuning into your cycles.
Yeah.
And these are important pieces that are often overlooked, you know, that I think it's so important to people try to follow the rules, right? They watch somebody's webinar or they go to a summit and they go, I'm going to try to follow all these rules. And when they try to follow all these rules that don't work for them, then they feel frustrated. And it's like, okay, what part of that worked? You know, we were just talking to somebody, Lynn and I were talking about her earlier, but she was, you know, every time she'd do a cleanse or do something where it was like limiting what she was eating and getting her off of meat, and she really wanted to be vegan, and she's doing all this stuff. And every time she does it, like, she would get anxious, and it really threw her off. And all she had to do was have a little bit of meat every day, and boom. And she's like, she's conflicted by it because she doesn't want to eat meat. But on the other hand, it's like a dramatic change for her. And so we have to tune into that. We can't always philosophically map it out with the body. You know, I feel fortunate that my philosophical bent works with my body bent, but it may not for everybody. And, you know, I said to her, I really want to work on like what's the underlying imbalance that you're not getting from the plant foods, if there is one, right? What's going on there that's not allowing you to extract it? And what are those nutrients? I said it's probably she's not digesting protein very well, because if you're eating, proteins are the precursors to the amino acids, obviously, and the amino acids are precursors to neurotransmitters, right? So if you're not getting enough or digesting enough protein, you're not going to be able to make enough neurotransmitters to keep your brain balanced. And so somebody who like needs and gets an immediate relief from throwing in the amino acids, the meat, it may be that they have a very low protein utilization. And when you put the meat in, which has a high percentage and a high availability, then they do it well. I mean, maybe it may be some other things. It may be some minerals in there. Maybe zinc problem. It may be any number of things. And it may be just something in her body not processing that. But as soon as she goes on the meat, her brain calms down, right?
And she feels good. That's the important piece,
right?
Because, you know, the guru I try to teach people to follow is themselves.
It's right here.
Exactly. And so, you know, you can listen to Dr. Rita Marie or whoever and get the information, but the wisdom is...
The wisdom comes from here, and it's not a matter of listening to me or someone else. Because I don't prescribe, you have to eat this way. Carrie's perfect example, right? She followed the sweet spot stuff. It's working for her. Her husband followed. It was awful for him. He went on more of a grain and bean-based, plant-based diet, and he got his sugars under control. It didn't work for him. And it's true. We don't know in advance. That's why we do all the experimentation. That's why I have people start with, okay, just monitor your sugars and your you know, weight and everything else right at the beginning with what you're doing originally. I used to teach people start these supplements and start these diet things, but then we never got a real true sense of what their current diet was doing for them. Now we're doing it that way and seeing that as they shift things, some people, it works beautifully and they go through the sweet spot and they do all this stuff. But the whole point of the sweet spot is not dogma. It's a matter of what are the things that throw your sugars off? What are the things that keep them in balance? And let's create that for you. So it's very, very good. Let's see. What are you guys saying in here? I'm missing it all.
They're talking about having high blood sugars and using the Relyon and
Strix. Mm-hmm. You've noticed that the Keto Mojo has not been always reliable either. Like sometimes we have to test a couple times before we get to what we think is an accurate reading.
Yeah, I think that sometimes everything is off. And it's interesting because the Keto Mojo seems to be okay with me. You have to also check your strips that they're not old, because once you open them, they want you to date it. And I think I've made the mistake of not using them within the time period and then they're off. My husband on the Keto Mojo, no matter what, his glucose is high. He can test it on the Relyon and then the what we used to do, it was the True to Go, and his numbers would be, you know, right where we expected them to be, and then the Keto Mojo high. And then I would do the same thing and test the three, and they were all around the same for me. So there's something in his chemistry, I don't know, that the Aikido Mojo doesn't work for. So
for me, the reliance is usually higher, but I've also had a few instances where they're exactly the same and a few where the Aikido Mojo was higher, but usually the reliance is
usually higher. Usually the reliance, I found the reliance to be about 8 to 10 points higher than what I know it to be, either from my freestyle or from the True to Go, which was the most accurate of all of them. And then the Aikido Mojo was usually within like 2 to 3 points of the other one. But it was very reliable. That's what I like about the reliance. For the most part, it's the same. I mean, I could do it 10 times in a row and just keep getting the same. That's your reliance. You have the newer version of the reliance. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, maybe it's 8 to 10 points higher, but if it's consistently 8 to 10 points higher, then you can rely on it. No pun intended.
But then when you start with 95 in the morning and then you check with the Aikido Mojo and it's like, okay, 85, it's depressing.
Well, that means that it's probably 85.
Yeah.
And if you see them when they're off, it's probably the Aikido Mojo that's off, not the reliance.
Okay.
So I think based on my tests of doing it a lot, is that if you can reliably take 8 to 10 points off the reliance and get your true number. Right. So if you find that they're off, it's probably the Aikido Mojo that's off.
Well, the Aikido Mojo was 85 and the reliance is like 95. So it's always higher for some reason. So I think the Aikido Mojo is more.
The Aikido Mojo is going to be more accurate, except when it's not.
Okay.
Right. So there's time. It's not as repeat. There's two different words in statistics that they use. It's the repeatability. It's precision and accuracy. Right. So something that's going to be precise is always going to be right where it's supposed to be. And I think accuracy, I can always forget which one is which, but precision and accuracy. So with the reliance, it's not exactly right. So maybe it's not precise, but it's accuracy in that it's going to give you the same number all the time. It's doing the same thing and it's going to give you the same number pretty much all the time. Right. So you can mostly rely on, and it's cheaper strips anyway, rely on and just take 8 to 10 points off of it. So if it's coming up at 95, you're probably in the 80s. So
yeah,
you're good. Right. Right. And whenever I get abnormal numbers, I always go back and test 2 to 3 times. Because if you just do 2, then you're in a random flip of the dice, right? But if you have 3, then you could take the 2 that are two that are close and then one off. Some of those meters were so bad that every time I tested them, they were, I would test them 10 times in a row and they would be all over the map. 87, 154. They were awful. I just took them and put them in the trash. They were so bad. And I told them.
I'm like Scott though, with the Freestyle Libra. I had 3 sensors. Like one after 9 days, it said replace sensor. The other one had like 5 days of low glucose where I'm like, no way. That's not real. Like, for some reason, the Freestyle Libra was not working for me. It was always, I could not trust this thing one bit.
Did you check your positioning that you had it in a good place?
Yeah. I did.
And I
tested with the like 3 other meters. The Freestyle Libra, they also have strips you can use. And then with the Aikido Mojo and the reliance, and they were all like in the same vicinity. And the thing would be like 3 point, it was a German one, but 3 like super low, like 60s or whatever. And then the other ones would be like 95 or 92 or something like that. So
I mean, it's all, we don't have the $10,000 fancy equipment that has, so we're doing our best with what we have. Scott hasn't tried the Freestyle yet, and I have one more meter.
I haven't found a doctor yet to prescribe it to me, because I would love to use it with my iPhone instead of the stupid.
See if your chiropractor will prescribe it.
He said he has never heard about it and he doesn't know.
Okay, tell him that you're going to have the company, you're going to order it from Edwards Health and have them send it to you. And they will call him and say, what's a diagnosis, and tell them to put down metabolic syndrome.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. What is it, Edwards?
Okay, Edwards Healthcare. By okay. Edwards Healthcare.
Good. Because in Germany, you have to order them from Abbott directly. You have to order them from the Abbott website. Okay.
Yeah, you can order it directly from Edwards Healthcare. And they're really good. They send it. And if they ask them for how long, tell them to say for a year. And then they don't bother them again. They just do it once.
Metabolic syndrome. Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
Yeah. Metabolic syndrome is just elevated, kind of insulin resistance with elevated blood pressure. You don't have it anymore, but you used to.
Right. And so basically I just go to the website, I order them, and then they will call
you. Order
him,
it,
so.
You put the they'll say, who's your doctor? You put the doctor right. in there, and then they'll fax their office. It's really easy.
Okay. Perfect. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Good. All right. Isabel, I see you there, but I don't see you. How are you doing? Anything from you?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm actually trying the keto diet with my daughter. She wanted to lose weight, so we're trying it together. And I was so hungry the first few days. I was starving. And it was real hunger.
And you were eating enough? Because sometimes people make the mistake of under-eating.
I might be a little bit. We're counting calories a little bit. I was doing like 1,500, 1,700 calories. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't cutting, but I was just feeling hungry like 24/7 for a few days. But now I'm okay.
Okay.
Now I'm fine. I just couldn't figure out why. I was in ketosis. I used the Keto Mojo. And it was like 1.7. So that's in ketosis, right? That's
nutrition. Yeah. The 0.5 is right on the border, and 1.7 is mild nutritional ketosis. So yeah, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. But now I'm okay. I was just like starving for 5 days.
Make sure you're eating enough fiber, because if you're doing a standard keto diet, you're not eating enough veggies and fiber. So when we do like our healthy keto, you should.
Yeah, I do like a big salad with like avocado and a dressing with a lots of fat and pumpkin seed and coconut oil and like blueberries and strawberry with coconut and macadamia nut butter.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good,
lots of good stuff.
Yeah, I was just like, why am I so hungry for a few days?
Well, it's switching things around a little bit, and it could be electrolytes, because as you start to shift, electrolytes go down. So watch that. Mm-hmm. Watch for leg cramps and replenish electrolytes if you need to.
Yeah, so I'm okay now. I'm okay good. Now. So yeah, it's good. Yeah, so I'm thinking of doing. I have a client that I'm thinking of doing. She did the liver cleanse with me. Usually people do liver cleanse and they're heavy. They usually lose about at least five pounds.
Oh, even if they're not heavy. I've done your liver cleanse and lost 5 pounds.
Yeah. And they she only lost 3. So, and she had a lot of relief. So I'm a bit, and she tried, she actually did, I don't know if she did sweet spa, like, religiously, like follow everything, but it was just really hard to drop weight. So I'm thinking about having her do keto and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And see.
So, give her do the fasting while feasting, that's going to be, we've had so many people that were stuck and they got great, great results with that.
Okay. Yeah. I did recommend that. So we'll see. Hopefully that's going to boost her metabolism.
Yep. Yeah. And then the keto, the healthy keto challenge that I did last year too, that really helped people to just jumpstart it as well.
Yeah. So yeah. Cool. Good call. Yeah.
Good. I want to show you guys one last thing before I go, because I put a new thing in preparation for our new group coming in. I put I'll go to share screen, and I want to show you a page that I put on our Unstoppable site that just basically, it's real easy for you to find all the personal health programs that are related to, that you get as a bonus for being in NEPT. And if you go to the main page, that everything's accessible from one place. So you don't have to deal with all the mess on the front page. So if you go here, you see this, NEPT All Access Personal Health Programs. You should all be able to see that. And if I hit Start Program, it takes you to a really cool page that says, hey, if you're working on your own health, follow these 8 steps. And you might already have done a lot of them. And then here's your evaluations. All of our health scorecards are in one place. So you could take lab testing, all the stuff is here. Then we have our empowerment library. So any of the pillars are right here for you to choose from. Any of the programs you wanna do, including stay in the sweet spot and the new one and all that. All of the second year ERC programs, the more advanced ones, and then these additional health and wellness programs, and I just stuck everything there. So some people were saying they didn't have access to these. I found it was easy to just sneak it behind this page so you had access to it, so I didn't have to get the programmer in to figure out how to do that. So you just get all these things. So it's really a good way for you to just like focus some time each week on your own health, right? And see, where am I at? Take some of the assessments. Where am I at? Because the healthier you are, the healthier you're going to be, the better you're going to be at coaching. And this is, the new people have access to this as well as the existing current people. So I'm excited about it because it's just, it was fun for me to do and pull this all out into one place and give you access to it. So anyway, I'm excited about that. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Carrie. And a lot of people ask, like, I have a client with thyroid and I want to look up thyroid, right? But you don't have access to the thyroid module yet because you haven't made it through that far. Well, you can just go right here. And all of the stuff that's in my client version of the thyroid program is here. So you can get a lot, you can get, give them a lot of support by going to, where is it? Thyroid here, and just get into that program and find things that you can do with them, including all the assessments, right? It's more advanced, obviously, on the NEPT side with all the assessments and all that, but it just gives you some resources that you can use with them. All right, I'm ready to go. Anybody else have any last thing? Lori says good night. Lynn says good night. Sharon says good night. Claudia, what is it that you love?
Okay. That, you know, to that we have two things that we need to work on our own health, which is so true, and that we have everything on one page. That's really easy. Is the new NEPT page also on Unstoppable Health, or is it like
this page is on Unstoppable?
But I mean the new NEPT site that you're talking about that you are working on.
Oh no, that we're working on it on a separate site that's going to be similar to what we have already, but much more organized and. Let's just say the back end of the other site was not done properly.
Okay. I see. I get that.
Okay. It wasn't done properly and we're redoing it properly. It didn't take advantage of the course wizard type things that were on there to make it so that it's a learning, it's actually a learning module and we could take advantage of everything in there. So
So when's that coming? So I should wait to start?
But if you haven't started yet, you can wait to start. I think it's probably next week. That will have at least the beginning part open, the first thing. So yeah, you can wait and do it that way if you want to.
Will the IRSPT be in there too?
IRSPT will be in there, but you can continue with IRSPT if you're going through it. But yeah, IRSPT is in that first level. So the first level is the all the hormone things, the overview and the interactions and all that with the hypothalamus and everything. Then the second one is the cellular metabolism. The third one is the history taking and all that. The fourth one is on the pillars. The fifth one is on, what's the fifth one? Oh, all the food resources, all the, you know, how do you teach people about various kinds of foods? The sixth one is food allergies. How do you guide people through food allergy? The seventh one is all of the nutrients, all the food kind of things by nutrient. And then the last one is all the food, you know, how do you put a diet together based on what other hormones are out of balance? And then the ninth one is IRSPT. So we've split things up. We've taken, everybody got lost with the body balance stuff, the body freedom stuff, all those pillars, because it was just all mushed together and wasn't in sequence. And we just felt like that was all the stuff. That first module is the stuff that's going to make you so that you feel really good about going out there and helping people to evaluate and then put them on some really clean dietary regimes based on what you find in the evaluations. And then the blood sugar. Yeah, Lynn Rose.
With the NEPT, with you're doing the new one, what about, how is that going to affect us doing the old program?
We haven't figured it out yet. We'll figure it out. It's on the list. Like if you're in anywhere in the first couple of modules, you know. What's that? You're on 12?
The last of the basic ones.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to, the first thing we're doing is getting level one set up, and then we're going to move to, you know, level two and then level three, et cetera. So folks who are still like really early on and haven't really gotten very far. We just, the only thing we haven't figured out is if you've already, I think it's not a problem though, because we're just tagging it in Infusionsoft. So I think if like, if you've finished exams for certain numbers, we want to be able to not have you lose that and have to take those tests again. Right. So once we figure that out, we'll move people over.
But the page that we're on now, is that going to be a different page, or is are we going to?
It's going to be a new site. We're going to keep that open until everything's all moved over, and then we'll move you guys over. You know, by choice. Yeah. But if you're on module 36, you're not going to want to go take your tests again. So we're trying to figure out how to, you know, and we've reorganized it so it's more, makes more sense. And then you can get a level one certification, and then you can get a level two certification. And then in between level one and level two, we're pulling anything related to coaching skills and marketing skills. And we're creating a curriculum that you can do in conjunction while you start level two, but that you can start to put coaching in place and have programs in place with just what you learned in level one, because it's enough to get going. Yeah, you don't have all the advanced functional lab testing stuff yet, but that's the way we're going to set it up, so that it's practical. You're not, you don't have to wait till you finish everything and get certified before you go out there and do something with it. You just get, okay, you're certified to use this piece, and then we're going to give you the marketing and coaching skills you need to make that happen, and then go to level two. So that's where we're at right now. And it's been a big project, but it's going to be there. And so the new folks, I think Sharon's still on there. The new folks haven't gotten into, except Sharon probably does. She probably has access to everything through module 14 because she has Angelica's checks. But most people don't have access yet to the NEPT site. And they're going to get like, here's your site. It's going to be really beautifully organized and really nice. And we're going to open it once we have the completion of the level one, and that should be done by the end of the week. So we're hoping that next week. And I'm going to show, because enough of it's done that I can show some of it on the kickoff call. I can show what it's going to look like and how it's going to be set up. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. There's a lot of dinosaurs in the closet in this site because it got moved over from another platform into this beautiful platform, Access Ally, that has all these great tools, but the person that did it didn't use any of those tools. She set it up in the you know, kind of, I don't know, programmatic kind of way, and we don't have advantage of all those cool tools. And so we're moving it over, biting the bullet and moving it over, because it's, I've been wanting to do it for a long time. There's a lot of things that are frustrating. We're also cleaning up the Unstoppable site, because the guy that built it did a great job of building it, but the back end is a disaster because he didn't set up the levels properly. And some of you have had that experience where, like, I can't get access to this. So instead of finding out why you couldn't get access and fixing it on a global level, he would just set up these separate like tags for people who couldn't get access so they could get access. So basically patchwork quilting it. And I'm finding all this in the back end. I'm like, no wonder. And
it's the band-aid of programming, right? It's the band-aid of programming versus addressing the root cause.
It's like medicine. It's like, you know, here's your drug. Take some aspirin. You'll be fine. That's what he's been doing on the programming side. And I'm a programmer, and I like deliberately stayed away from it until I was trying to make sure I was clean for getting new people in NEPT and new people in an ERC. And I'm like, I was like gasping the other day. I spent 3 hours, deleted 40 membership levels that were patchwork. And because I figured out they weren't needed anymore. So I'm redoing some of that stuff in the back end just to make sure it's clean. Because it costs a lot of money to have people calling my help desk all the time telling me things don't work. It's a bad reputation. It's embarrassing. And I'm like, I don't need this anymore. So it's going to be really beautiful, and it's going to be really well thought out, and it's going to be real easy to maintain, and you guys are going to have a much better experience with it.
What platform are you using? Just curious.
It's Access Ally on a WordPress site.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, the new one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same platform, but it's
but you use it properly. Right. Okay.
And we were going to try to fix it where it was, and it's just was such a mess that we just decided. So it's going to be called INE Member instead of INE Members, unless they swap it. But right now it's on a separate site we're building it on called INE Member. And it's on a better platform that speed is much better. It's on this thing called WP Engine, which is known for its ability to have a really pleasant experience instead of it getting slowed down every time you put a new page in. So we're excited about it. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And, but for now, I'm very excited about having this one page that you can go to on the Unstoppable site. So you don't have to be digging through that front thing and go, how come I don't have access to that? She said I had access to it. Why don't I have access? Everything you need, everything you have access to. And I personally tested all the tags to make sure that they work and it should be fine. So just click that link and you'll get in and you'll be able to see all the stuff that you need. Okay. Okay, guys, have a great one. Enjoy. Stay cool. It's been kind of hot here in Texas, how I live.
Yeah.
It is cool in the Northwest.
It is. It's always cool in the Northwest. I mean, almost always, not always. But Sharon, are you in Austin or you're in Texas, aren't you? Thought you were. Oops, I think she went away. Oh, yeah. She's 512. Yeah. She's in Austin. So, all right, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
Thank you.